Morning, church family.
Good morning, Pastor.
I have to say a special good morning to Mama Taeg. Yes, long time she hasn't been here, but today she's here to give us an opportunity to say to her happy birthday. She just had a birthday. So happy birthday to you. All right. We are very blessed that Sister Carol is here with us too. Hi, how are you? Nice to see you here too. And all of you that are chose to be here, would you look beside you and see someone and says, I'm glad you're here. And I'll say to those, we have quite a few members here online. We are very happy that you're here with us too. Okay? Everyone here probably have known someone who is no longer here. And I don't mean in the church. I mean is on the grave, has passed away. It could be a parent, a grandparent, a child. It is always very painful when somebody dies. But especially when the person is very young still, right? When somebody has a full life ahead of them and they are no longer here. Sometimes because of mistake. Sometimes they took a drug, they drove too fast, or sometimes somebody else caused their death. No matter what, it is always painful for somebody to have to give up their lives because of somebody else's mistake. We have this day and age a lot of violence. There's a lot of people that are their last days are cut in short. Instead of having many years ahead of them, their lives have been taken away. How many more days do we have? We always think that there will be 100 more, 1,000 more tomorrows. And we take for today for granted. We live always thinking that tomorrow belongs to us. And that is foolishness. Because as a pastor, I have met so many people, many different ages. And I never thought that they would die that quickly. In this church alone, I believe that I participate in funerals more than any other church that I pastored before. And there are so many wonderful friends, angels, that are no longer here. They are in the grave, waiting for the same thing that you and I are waiting. For a day when the word last will be lasting, but not last anymore. So we want eternity to come. And that's our dream. That is our hope. The Lord saw that the human beings on earth were very wicked. And that everything they thought about was what? Evil. I don't know about you, but scriptures has become like, it sounds like it was written yesterday. It looks like, this case, Moses probably watching the news. And he started writing because it is evil and is getting worse and worse and worse fast. People on earth did what God said was evil. And violence was everywhere. Doesn't look like it's exactly what we are going through now.
Yes.
Sometimes we heard in the news that a violence, terrible things would happen in those third world countries. All those poor people, they don't have education, they don't have anything else. That's why they're so violent. We never imagined that a country with so much blessings will harbor so much evil. And the evil is multiplying a lot. And then it says, so God looked upon the earth, and he is. And indeed, it was corrupt. And he's not talking about the politicians. You know, they included too, but and they were corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way on earth. And it's going to get worse and worse. This individual said, but Noah pleased the Lord. I want to, for you to pause for a moment, because some of us say, oh, this poor individual, they killed somebody, or he robbed somebody, or he was doing this because his parents abandoned him. Poor me. Always an excuse. Our society gives a lot of excuses. This, just a few weeks ago, a few days ago, something came on the news that shocked me. I never thought that we were, legally, we go backwards so fast. One lady, if we can call her a lady, a female person, took some drugs. And she took a knife and stabbed her boyfriend, or whatever you call it, the person who was there with her, 108 times. That is shocking, right? Shocking is what the court did. They let her go. This poor little girl, she used drugs. She was not in control of herself. Of course not. But when she was taking the drugs, she had control. But yet, the court let her go. Probation only. Because she was under the influence of drugs. Can you imagine what this case is going to do to all the future cases? When a nut decides to do something, and that's just because my mom did not love me enough, I'm entitled to kill somebody else. Yes, in all this dark world, there is always someone who loves the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm looking at quite a few of them here today.
Don't
get discouraged, because the Lord says that those things must happen before he comes. So let's continue. Noah, if you read this afternoon, you can have a homework this afternoon. Read Genesis 6 all the way through 9, and you will understand all the details about what we're talking about. Genesis 6 verse 9, New Century Version says, this is the family history of Noah. Noah was what?
A good man.
The most innocent man of his time. When everybody else is good, I think it's much easier to be good. But when everybody around you is so bad, for you to be good is more challenging. And yet, when everything, the Bible says, the earth was filled with filthiness and evil and all sorts of things, but he still remained good. He was the most innocent man of his time. And he walked with God. And that's the secret. He walked with God all the time. That's why he kept himself as being good. Paul says this in Hebrews 11 verse 7. It was by faith that Noah heard God's warning about things that was not there. By the way, it never rained before. It never did. And God tells him that it's going to rain. It's going to rain enough to cover the whole earth. Boy, he had faith. How many of us sometimes ask God for something and ask the second time, and the third time we already want to get discouraged and move on? He prayed and he knew and he had faith. It says he obeyed God and built a large boat to save his family. Which family do you think Noah saved when he built that boat?
His family.
Noah built that boat because of me. Yeah, you can point your finger towards you. It says, yes, because of me, because of us. Because the purpose was to carry the seed. Because if there were the whole population, the whole humanity would be destroyed, there will be no salvation, and Satan and his demons would have conquered the earth forever. Humans would be gone. Genesis 3:15 says, when God speaks to the serpent, tells clearly, one of the descendants of the woman will be the Savior. So Noah built that ark to carry the seed of the Messiah. Amen. So that we could be saved. Continue the verse 7 of Hebrews 11. It says, by faith Noah showed that the world was wrong, was corrupt, was bad. And he became one of those who are made right with God through faith. Copy, brothers and sisters, copy this model to your lives. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Genesis 6, verse 13 to 22, it talks about when Noah built the ark. 120 years it was given as a sign of grace to humanity. And he preached every day. And the Bible doesn't mention this, but I assume that he hired many of his neighbors to build the ark. And they built. Don't think that he built all by himself or with his sons. No, he hired people to do the work. But not a single one of them listened to his message. Only the sons and their wives, the total of 8 people. They built the ark. Let's read. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark. Now, I like this New King James Version because some other version doesn't say exactly like this. Why I like this? Because the come. Where was God when he says, come into the ark? It gives the impression that he's inside. He's saying, come in. Come in. I will take care of you. I'll be here with you. This is about the salvation of the whole world. And I'm here. I'm very much involved. I create them and I'm responsible to redeem them. So come in. Come into the ark. You and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Because you chose me, I'm going to stick with you. Come in. Now, you know that the ark, once that it was done, once that Noah got in, all the animals got in. You see, when the people don't want to come in, the civilized don't want to come in, the uncivilized went in. And I used to say, and sometimes I have to be careful because I don't want anybody misunderstanding me. I says, you know, he preached for 120 years, not a single convert. Only a bunch of beasts came into the ark. Only the wild came in. The civilized stayed there doing uncivilized things outside. And you notice one thing of the boat too? When they got in, the door was closed. But on top, there was a window that Noah could always reach out and look up. The door was closed. Nobody could open. But the window was available for him to look up and pray and talk to God every day. In chapter 7, verse 16 says, one male and one female of every living thing. Why one male and one female? Because the commandment that God gave in the beginning was true again. He says, you have to multiply and fill the earth. That's the purpose. It says, just as God has commanded Noah, and they did, they came. Then the Lord closed the door behind them. Today you have a freedom to come to church. Our governor, and I'm not being critical for his party or anything else, I'm not being political, but our governor, when the COVID came out, he tried to close all the churches. Actually, he put an order to all the churches to be closed. And the excuse was, we don't want anybody to contaminate anybody. If that would be the case, they should close all the bars too. All the clubs, so they don't contaminate anybody. But no. And then some religious people took him to court. And he lost because he was overreaching because he wants so much power. With this COVID, you have no idea how many freedoms we have lost. Because with the excuse of the pestilence, they grab power. And believe me, as we get close to the last days, more things like this will happen. Every time there's a crisis, there's somebody taking advantage to take some rights away. And America is no longer become the place as supposed to be. The door closes. Someone said to Jesus, now we are going to Luke chapter 13, verse 23 to 27. It says, someone come to Jesus and says, Lord, will only a few people be saved? Don't we all ask these questions? We always think that a tiny little group of people is going to be saved. I have heard preachers, I have read theologians saying that a very tiny little group is going to be saved. But when I read the Revelation, when it talks about the lost, it talks about a multitude like a sand of the sea. But people skip the part that says the saved is going to be like the sand of the sea. I think people underestimate the power of grace, the power of God. And then it continues, try hard to enter through the narrow door. It is narrow, and not everybody likes to come in. They want to open wild. You know what an open wide means? Like a no restriction. No, it's narrow because you have to make a choice. Because many people will try to enter there, but they will not be able to. By the way, if the door is this narrow, and by doing nothing with your life, you become this big, you won't fit. And I'm not talking about body fat. I'm talking about all the stuff that we put in our minds, all the things that are the bad habits that we learn. We won't get in with those bags. We have to take them out. Verse 25. When the owner of the house gets up and closes the door. By the way, brothers and sisters, the door is not going to be open forever. Those doors that are open now, one day will close. You can stand outside and knock on the door and say, sir, open the door for us. I changed my mind. I want to come in. But he will answer, I do not know who you are. I have no idea who you are. But we have been in church for more than 40 years. My father was a preacher. My grandfather was a preacher. My grandmother was an evangelist. I was a comporter for 10 vacations. I read all the books of Ellen G. White. I memorized all parts of the Bible. And God said, I have no idea who you are. Because, brothers and sisters, it's not the doing that takes you to open the door. It's a being. You had to be. And when you are, you do. But don't do because you want to become. It's not doing that makes you anything. It's by being that gives you the opportunity to do things. Then you say, verse 26, we ate You know, we sat at the potluck with you, or the lunch. We talked, don't you remember me? I returned tithe to your church. I've sent large donations to your church. Don't you know who I am? And you taught in the streets of our town. I remember hearing you. But he will say to you, I don't know you or where you come from. I have no idea who you are. Go away. Go away. All you who do evil. Those that choose to live in darkness cannot claim connection with the light. It doesn't make sense. Those that are evil cannot claim that they belong to a good God. It doesn't make sense. You cannot live in darkness and claim to have light. But as the days of Noah were, in Matthew 24, verse 37 to 39, it says, but as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. When Jesus Christ comes, it's going to be just like that. And what they say, when Noah was ready to finish the ark, I could hear people say, the rain is coming. The rain is coming. Can you sense the moisture in the air? Can you see the clouds? The rain is coming. I'll say to you, the sun, the living water is coming. We must be ready to come. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking. And I'm going to say something here that some of you won't feel comfortable, but I have to say anyway. One thing that is going on right now that most people don't talk, even pastors don't talk anymore because it's so sensitive. Young people, they don't bother to wait for to get married anymore. They are living together, sleeping together, and producing children. They don't have no responsibility for those children. In many cases, the boy is there for the situation. And then a baby comes and the boy runs. I'm not talking about the baby runs because it's too big. It's a baby. It's the big baby that father a child. And this is what is happening in our society. We have people inside of our church, that are living with somebody without being married. That is sin. Yes, if you want to throw some stones, please, quick, because it is sin. It is sin. You don't need a document from Caesar to legalize your situation. What you need is a blessing from God. The document from Caesar, it's a must because we need, the Bible says clearly that we need to be faithful to God, but also respect to the authorities. We need that marriage license. But before we get their marriage license, we need to get his license. Young girls, don't give your life to anyone who is not willing to honor you. Some people may say, oh, it's just a piece of paper. Yeah, go into that situation, then you realize that a piece of paper, it is more important than you think it is. Don't go around offering to anybody the most sacred thing that you have that is supposed to be saved for the moment or somebody has earned the right to be one with you in life. We are not here to throw stones on those that have made mistakes, but we are here to advise you, wake up. You cannot continue living sin and believe that one day when Jesus Christ comes and you're going to say, oh, whoops, I'm sorry. And he says, I have no idea who you are. You love evil so much, evil will claim you. If you love God, God will claim you. Until the day that Noah entered the ark, they kept doing. 120 years, Noah kept telling them, it's going to happen. The rain is coming. It's going to happen. The rain is coming. He preached every day, 120 years, and nobody listened until the day the water came. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away to their graves. Every one of them. So also be when the Son of Man comes. Are you going to be ready? And did not know until the flood came and took them all away. What is taking you away from the Lord? We put together this this picture. And if you notice that the seven is standing, 7 o'clock is standing on the Bible. I did this on purpose to symbolize that we need to be perfect. And the Word is the light that we need. We need to spend more time, brothers and sisters. I like to insist with you, stop just coming to church and eating for half an hour and think that this is enough for the whole week. I said to you before, if you eat only the end of the week, you're going to be always weak. And that is going to end one day. You need to eat every day. Remember what it says about Noah? He walked with God. He was a good man. He spent time with the Lord. If you read, it goes to your brain. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will allow you to, it will help you to remember everything. But you see, not even God can make an empty cup looks full. If you put it in, the Holy Spirit helps you to remember. But if you don't put there, not even God can do that. So read the book. But off of that day and hour, no one knows. We don't know when the day is. If you ask Peter, he's in the grave. When he gets up, it's like time didn't pass. Sometimes we think about the last days. We say, oh, Jesus Christ, when I was baptized at 16 years of age, everybody told me that Jesus Christ was going to come in the next year. Some people were scared to death and they run to the baptism quickly. And then 1 year went by, 3, 4, 5, and little by little, all that fear that they had that brought them to the church vanishes. And so they walk away from the church. You notice that as a pastor, I don't like to emphasize, I don't like to scare people to a decision, because that kind of decision is not really a decision. When you are afraid of hell and you come to Christ, to be with Christ becomes hell for you. Because you're not there because you love Him, you are there because you're afraid, you're scared. Don't be scared. Faith is better than fear. Wherever there is faith, fear has no power. Not even the angels of heaven knows when He is coming, but the Father does. And we know that He's coming. Do you know why I know that He's coming? For 4,000 years, He says, I'm coming. And He came. 2,000 years has passed, and we know that He is coming again because He said so, I will come again. This is what 2 Timothy chapter 3 says. Please take note of this and read this carefully. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. I'm reading from the Common English Version, which says, you can be certain that in the last days, when? The last days, when? Now. Yes, because this is the last days for us. We're not going to live another 1,000 years, at least in this earth, unless Jesus Christ comes. There will be some very hard times ahead. Yes? And then it says, people will love only themselves and money. Duh.
Amen.
Isn't that's the picture? Have you seen this picture? They will be. I don't watch, and I believe me, if you do watch, that's you're gonna. This between you and God. I don't watch when all these people from Hollywood parade in front of the cameras, and they all have an opinion about something. And they come for, and they all dress, and they come with a gold, you know, it's a Golden Globe or a gold Oscar or whatever, a Grammy, or they come and they walk. Oh, they, and then I see as this foolishness. They will be proud, stuck up, rude. And disobedient to their parents. Oh, young folks, you notice? Disobedience to the parents is a sign of the last days. So don't be that kind of statistics, okay? They will also be ungrateful. I have talked to people that have done something for me more than 30, 40 years ago, and they are shocked. That every time I talk to them, I remind them, I like to say to you that I'm grateful for what you did. Sometimes we are grateful, we say once, and then we just move on. Every single person that I am very much affected by their decision, I keep reminding them, I'm grateful. I am telling them, I haven't forgot, and I'm telling them, you shouldn't forget either, because whatever you did for me, you should continue doing, because that makes you a better person. So I remember one time when my uncle, he married to my aunt. And my mother took me and just dumped in their home. And she took off. She disappeared for 2 years. Not a mail, a phone call, nothing. She just disappeared. And my aunt took care of me the best way she could and took care of her own. And then when I was 4, this lady showed up. I remember with a dark sunglasses, and she was loud. I was 4 years old, and I remember I closed my eyes and I see complete the whole picture. And she was very loud. And somebody kept telling me, that's your mom. But I felt awkward because for my mom, my idea of mom was my aunt. She was my mom. She was there for me. And of course, sometimes we say, oh, but the people, they mistreat you. They did so many good things that I am grateful. When I tell this story for their own children, they say, but my mom put you in an orphanage. My mom beat you. Says, it's not the bad things that she did. It's the great things that she did for me that is keep occupying my mind. I chose to be a better person than a bitter person. We needed to value the parents that we have. Young people, don't wait for Mother's Day to tell your mom how much you love her. Don't wait for Father's Day. Surprise them. Everybody likes to know that they are loved. The ungrateful, the godless. And then he continued, the heartless and hateful. Their words will be cruel. They will have no self-control or pity. These people will hate everything that is good. I don't know what channels you have in your home. I hope that you don't waste too much time of your precious brain to put that garbage in your mind. But if you do watch television, you see, you notice that many people that call news, they are actually not news. They are just people giving opinion. And I have noticed lately, there is such a despise for religious people. They are very openly attacking anybody who attends church. Don't be surprised. Things are going to get a little tighter. It's coming. Even though they will make a show of being religious, their religion won't be real. It's all fake. Don't have anything to do with such people as this. And finally, brothers and sisters, I want to have this in your mind. Trust in the Lord. The days will come, difficult days will come, but remember, trust Him.
Amen.
Trust Him. Amen. Your last days are supposed to be lasting days. Now for a moment, would you have a pen? Anybody has a pen? And a piece of paper? Write L-A-S-T. Last, right? L-A-S-T. If you think about yourselves, that L-A-S-T will have a different meaning. But if you think about the world, then we'll have a different meaning. So I'm going to give you both. So the L for the sinners, for those that do not have anything to do with God, is lawlessness. That's what the L stands for. What do you think that A will stand for? I'll say lawlessness and the A and sinful troubles. That's all. And now we can say, the S, you can say sinful or satanic troubles. It's all there. But now let's apply that for you and I. Remember that the Bible says in the book of Revelation that here are the patience of the saints. And then says something that they do. What it says? That keep the commandments of God and has the witness or the testimony of Jesus Christ. So now think about that verse. Let's give some meaning to L-A-S-T. It says, the law abiding saints testifying. That's what it is, the lasting. Please make sure that is what you're part of. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. The word heart here, it means mind, okay? Don't let anything else infiltrate your mind. Trust the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your possessions. Do not depend on your own understanding. If you do so, my brothers and sisters, you will have your last days in the presence of the Almighty One. I hope that you are a law-abiding saint that testifies about the power of faith in your life. Amen. It is my wish for you, my prayer for you, that when those days comes, when the trumpet is about to sound, that the door of grace will be a place that you will go through and accept what God has offered to you. Don't take for granted tomorrow. All that you got is today. Not even today. As the Hispanics say, all you got is ahorita. Not ahora, but ahorita. All you got is this moment. The next breath that you take, you do not know.
Amen.
So please, embrace the hope that God has offered to you. Go through that door before the door is closed and the rain is too much for you. The Lord is coming. Embrace your faith.
Amen.
Live it. In the name of Christ, I ask those blessings upon you. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing with gusto.